Long legs.
Yeah, he's got a little triangle body and then like these two long wispy circle or heart-shaped legs, but then like he's got two arms out to the side and this giant slightly green hat, but all the rest of him's white. I don't know why I'm saying him. The flowers are obviously female. And then they've got this little face and these little dark eyes in the middle. And you're like, she is looking at me.
I know, especially when they have these groups of the orchids. Imagine coming across just a group of these tiny little, what look like kind of white little ghosts or fairies in the middle of the night.
Yeah, oh my gosh. In the dark, in the night, if I stumbled on like that cluster of them, I'd be like, yeah, I'm disappearing for 200 years. The fairies are taking me. I could see fairy orchid. It's white. I get ghost, but boy.
You know, it'd be like, yep, the fae have come to take me. I guess I'll accept my fate.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Wildlife researchers often spend a lot of time looking through binoculars or monitoring images from trail cameras. But Elizabeth Snyderzik of Charles Sturt University in Australia prefers to listen.
I first started to become very interested in sound when I was working on secretive marsh birds. So you usually don't see these birds, you only ever hear them.
So to monitor the birds, she placed sound recorders in the marsh, and she found that during a major flood, the Australasian bittern stopped performing its mating call.
Now, when that water level dropped back down, which was slightly out of their breeding season, the birds started to call.
So researchers could tell that the birds had shifted their breeding in response to the flooding. She says it's just one example of how documenting the sounds of the natural world before and after extreme weather can help people understand how species are responding to climate change. And it can help them monitor how the ecosystem comes back after a disaster. So if needed, they can take steps to restore an ecosystem to make sure it not only looks like it used to, but that it sounds right too. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Greetings, folks. This is Reverend Billy here. And this is Earth Riot Radio. I'm here at the Church of Stop Shopping in New York. We're dealing with a meta crisis. Is it something we want? Seems like people are acting that way. They want the end. And they kind of want a glorious, entertaining end. And we want a front row seat at our own suicide. No, that's too old-fashioned. That's too analog. We want to make ourselves die and then watch us do it. There I am. I'm dying on the little screen. Moment, then moment, then moment, then moment. Each moment an entertainment empire. The ultimate dopamine dump. My own death scene. That's not Brad Pitt playing me. That's not Meryl Streep in an Oscar award-winning death scene. No. It's me. It's me. Having a moment. Silicon Valley produced what? AI? No. VR? No. Crypto? No. Hedge? No. All that magic invisible stuff that nobody understands that they make billions of dollars doing, none of that is their invention that matters. It's just come to this. Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the ultimate Silicon Valley product. And he is pushing us towards our death. And we are watching it. And we're enjoying it. And it really feels a lot of people are just depressed right now. A lot of progressive people just think there's just nothing we can do. Oh, yes, there is. There's something so much more powerful than Donald Trump. And here they come. Somebody give me an earth-a-looyah!
Earth-a-looyah!
Affairs, main establishment journal by Fritz Stern, one of the major German historians of Germany. It was called Descent into Barbarism, and he was discussing the way Germany deteriorated from what was in fact maybe the peak of Western civilization in the 1920s into the utter depths of history 10 years later. And his article was written with an eye on the United States. This was the Bush administration, not today. He was saying, he didn't say we're Bush's Hitler, wasn't saying that, but he was saying there were signs that we should pay attention to. He said, I sometimes have concern for the country that rescued me from fascism. We can easily see how if there had been a charismatic figure in the United States who could mobilize fears, anger, racism, a sense of loss of the future that belongs to us, this country could be in real danger. We're lucky that there never has been an honest, charismatic figure. McCarthy was too much of a thug, you know. Nixon was too crooked. Trump, I think, is too much of a clown. So we've been lucky. But we're not going to be lucky forever, necessarily.
Thank you.
champagne, but there is new life in the rain, the rain. The earth is in pain, but there is new life in the rain, the rain.
Do you know what I'm feeling?
The ocean, the earth is crashing.
Do you know what I'm feeling?
I look at the future, and I look at it in my very quantum theoretical way. That's highly uncertain. There are two possibilities. The possibility of carrying on the path that we are, with crazy scientists wanting to do geoengineering. They first mess up the planet with climate change and they say, now we'll fix it. And the resource grab and land grab attached with all of that can push us on a fast forward to extinction. In which case, I'm confident that the Earth will carry on. We as a species will go. But because in India we believe in reincarnation, human species extinction is not the end of life. We're just one. The worms and microbes and everything else is one of us. And the second option is a rapid change in consciousness, a rapid change in who we are. Now, that is a majority shift because most women don't believe in this grabbing. They don't have the opportunity anyway. Most of the disenfranchised, 95% are shaping another world, want another world. They want non-violence. They want sharing. They want other ways of political organizing, economic organizing. And that tectonic shift that's taking place is under the power pyramid, shifting the base. And when change happens, very rapidly, we could be in another place as a species. Our age has been called the Anthropocene Age, where humanity has been such a destructive force on the planet. Its climate is decided by our actions. The species is decided by action. The state of water is decided by our action. The fertility of soils is decided by action. We can carry on there and then we don't exist. Or we can change it to the creative Anthropocene, energized by a feminine energy, the energy of non-Western spiritual civilizations, the energy of indigenous people, the energy of the earth herself and her diversity, to basically recognize that we are one interwoven life.
And so we're all sitting together and we're watching Donald Trump, and he's saying something to us. What did he say? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, not. No. What? Oh, he couldn't. He wouldn't. We let saturation advertising saturate us. We couldn't stop our shopping. We couldn't look away from the screen. Our drug, one more dump of dopamine. And we're sitting here together, and we're looking up into the orange grin of Donald Trump, and he's saying something to us. What? What did he say? Oh,
Oh, no, 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 oh, no. Impossible. No, I can't. And so we cover up our eyes and our ears. We cover up our senses. And we turn and we get a mile away from this. And we get 100 miles away. And then finally, we take this hood off of our heads and we look around. And we have this sick, vaguely nauseous vertigo, this feeling that you and I are sharing at this very moment. That's right. We realize we have created a million Donald Trumps, and they're looking back at us, and they're all talking to us. They all have the same orange grin. Yes, because we refused to stop the saturation advertising from saturating all of us. And we couldn't stop the shopping. We all shopped. And we couldn't look away from the screen. We couldn't stop our drug. One more dump of dopamine. We refused to confront, to be political, to be clear, to be free. But now there's one thing we can put our trust in. There is one force, one living force that can change all this, can stop this nightmare, and that's the earth. Somebody give me an earth alleluia. I'm working on a song here. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind, and the wind is blowing 200 miles an hour. The answer, my friend, is burning in the fire, and the flames are getting higher and higher. The answer, my friend, is the earth is coming, and she's getting closer, hour by hour. Somebody give me an earth alleluia.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Donald Trump has said that he will reverse Joe Biden's plan to phase out plastic straws across the U.S. government, complaining that paper alternatives don't work and that a move is needed to, quote, go back to plastic. Trump said in a Truth Social post that he will sign an executive order next week ending the ridiculous Biden push for paper straws, which don't work, back to plastic. The U.S. president added in a separate post that Biden's mandate for paper straws was now dead. Enjoy your next drink without a straw that disgustingly dissolves in your mouth. Trump appears to be taking aim at an effort by the Biden administration plan to phase out all single-use plastics across the federal government by 2035. Global annual plastic production doubled in the two decades since 2000 to around 460 million tons and is expected to quadruple again by 2050. Less than 10% of this plastic waste is being recycled. The rest ends up in the environment, with the equivalent of one truck filled with plastic dumping its contents into the ocean every minute of every day. Much of this trash is composed of single-use plastic, such as straws, which make up about 40% of plastic production. Some of Sydney, Australia's most popular swimming spots, including Coogee and Gordon's Bay beaches, remain closed after thousands and thousands of mysterious balls washed ashore. Preliminary test results identified the dark spheres as tar balls, which are formed when oil comes into contact with debris and water, usually as a result of oil spills or seepage. Bondi, Tamarama, and Bronte beaches are also closed out of precaution. A report from an international research group has found a pattern in whale song that is universally expressed in all human languages as well. This pattern is called Zipf's Law. It states that the most frequently used word in any language is twice as frequent as the second most frequent, three times as frequent as the third most frequent, and so on. The researchers, whose backgrounds include linguistics and developmental psychology, analyzed song recordings of humpback whales in New Caledonia using techniques derived from studies of the language acquisition of human infants. Zip's pattern is learned culturally by each individual from others. Like humans, whales have distinct cultures. Speech is continuous without audible gaps between words, so infants listen for sounds within words themselves that are relatively predictable. While applying this technique to 8 years of recorded whale song, researchers were surprised to see Zip's pattern emerge in the data. While it is an exciting development, scientists emphasize humans are still unable to communicate with cetacean mammals because, as yet, we have no idea what whale phonemes signify. Researchers found that women between the ages of 25 and 65, the life stages of early and middle adulthood, spoke on average about 3,000 more words per day than their male counterparts. Significant gender differences did not appear in the study's other age groups, adolescence, emerging adulthood, and older adulthood. Researchers also discovered that people in general might be becoming less talkative, a finding they suspect is linked to an increasing reliance on digital communication. While women in the early to middle adult age group spoke 21,845 words a day on average, the men spoke just 18,570. More than a dozen people have been found making the hazardous crossing into Canada, across the northern border of the United States, renewing focus on the closely watched and seasonally perilous northern crossing. Police in Alberta this week intercepted two groups attempting to cross into Canada, one which included 5 children who were ill-prepared for the cold, which can plunge as low as 22 degrees Fahrenheit below zero at this time of year. 9 people from Venezuela were found trudging through the snow and dragging suitcases. The group was bound for Alberta and made the journey in incredibly cold weather. A second group, composed of 6 adults from Jordan, Sudan, Chad, and Mauritius, was found in a forest near Manitoba's border with the U.S. after a military plane using thermal cameras detected them. Neither group had clothing suitable for the frigid conditions. Canada and the United States have a 5,500-mile border. A swell shark living in captivity has given birth, though she had not been in contact with a male for more than 3 years. This suggests either a process called parthenogenesis, a rare form of asexual reproduction, or delayed fertilization. If Yoko, the baby swell shark, was indeed born via parthenogenesis, she would join animals such as starfish, deep-sea worms, and insects, as well as a famous human named Mary, capable of such virgin births. Laying eggs without mating is much rarer in vertebrates, but it has been seen in zebra sharks, sawfish, and a handful of reptiles. The phenomenon was first documented in Komodo dragons, the world's largest reptiles. Last year, a stingray called Charlotte was found to be pregnant despite not having been in contact with a male for 8 years. In Australia, Dylan Cooper and Corey Caruaro from Reptile Relocation Sydney have removed 102 red-bellied black snakes from a single mulch pile. They had expected to remove only 4 red-bellied snakes, which had been seen by the owner of the Horsley Park home. During summer, it is common for some female snakes to congregate and share the same birthing site. The red-bellied black snake is venomous, and its bite can cause significant illness, though rarely death. Its victims often lose their sense of smell. A Mississippi State University scientist has discovered 16 new species of grasshoppers living in the thorny scrubs of the United States and Mexican deserts. Prior to Jovan Hill's finding, only 3 species of Agroecotetics were known. This grasshopper genus likely diversified during the Pleistocene epoch, also known as the Ice Age. Indoor cannabis cultivation in the U.S. uses more energy than all outdoor agriculture in the country combined. This generates a large and growing emissions footprint that often goes unrecognized. Two-thirds of U.S. cannabis is grown indoors, requiring lights and temperature control that produce vast amounts of emissions. The energy-intensive cannabis industry is a major emitter of greenhouse gases. Outdoor cultivation could trim emissions up to 76%. And now, the sounds of extinction. Madame Bertha's mouse lemur is the smallest primate species in the world, just 3.5 inches tall and weighing around 1 ounce. Native to Madagascar, like all lemurs, the species is restricted to the dry forest of Kirindi and Ambadira in West Madagascar. They are a light cinnamon and yellow ochre in color with dark bands around their big eyes. They are omnivores and typically solitary nocturnal foragers. But they are not without social interaction with other members of their species. About half the time, they sleep alone. Otherwise, they can be found sleeping next to one or more lemurs, with no preference or prejudice to close relatives or members of the opposite sex. They use the tangles of tree vines to sleep in. Mouse lemurs interact through playful chasing, biting, and grabbing, also mutual grooming, sex, or what is known as huddling, an activity which can last up to 23 minutes. Madame Bertha's mouse lemurs, like other mouse lemurs, are able to enter into both seasonal and daily torpor. Because of their variable habitat, this ability is vital for survival. During times of drought, cold weather, or when resources are lacking, they enter into a state of torpor, significantly reducing their metabolic rate and body temperature. The major threats to this species are habitat loss and degradation due to slash and burn agriculture for maize and peanuts, the felling of trees for charcoal production, and illegal logging. If deforestation continues at the same rate as during recent years, Madame Bertha's mouse lemur might be lost before 2030. There are no Madame Bertha's mouse lemurs in captivity now. Lemurs are famous for the variety of sounds they make even within a single species. Because Madame Bertha's mouse lemurs are quite solitary, very little is known about their communication tactics and vocalizations, which have been described as a chirping sound. And now, hear the faint chirping of the Madame Bertha's mouse lemur.
Hello and goodbye. This is our conclusion to this Earth Riot Radio episode. I hope it helped you in some way. And let's wish each other the best this week. What do we mean by that? I'm not sure. We're lost. We're all walking around drifting. What is going on? Billionaire criminals are just stopping the government, canceling compassion, leaving millions of people in South Africa without their HIV medicine, clinics locked up, complete surprise to these people, suffering being caused directly by greed. Billionaires taking the money. Well, you and I now, it's hard to say this, but there's an opportunity here in this crisis. It's like being in the grieving process when you've really lost a dear friend and you're up against death. Nothing makes sense for a moment, or maybe for days and weeks. Nothing makes sense. And so what do? You contain that lostness
and you get alone, and you are disengaged from all the personal traditions that dictate what you do all day long. Don't have that anymore. So don't just be lost in the sense of drifting and feeling bad. Be lost in the sense of real separation, so that when you do start